I have a daughter that's 24. She's out of the house. She had a few bad things happen to her, and she questioned why God allowed that. She decided that she was going against him, and what I did was I gave her back to God, and I just asked God to give me peace and to show her the love that he has for her, even though she has chosen that path, that he will always love her.
All right. Well, that's a serious call. We'll get back to it. I was thinking as you said, I gave them back to God. Some of you are saying, I wish I could. You know, come on. Just all right. Not just kidding. But you have that feeling sometimes, right? Of course, she's talking about, I want to give back to God because he belongs to God, and I'm not going to interfere with what God's doing in his life. We're talking parenting today. Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center, picking up from yesterday. We spend a couple days each week, typically on a Thursday, Friday, and then Monday and Wednesday tend to be our marriage days. We're kind of focusing in these two areas, and then Tuesday, we just look at different areas of our life and relationships on how to be intentional in those areas. We love you guys. I've been at this a long time. I've talked to thousands of people, worked with a lot of people, and there are principles that God has really shown me through Scripture that make a difference. We call them intentional living. Intentional living is kind of got two legs to it. One is what we become on the inside, who we are as a person, you know, our faith, what we believe, our values, the hope that we have in Christ. These are inside things. And then the external things, the things that we do, that becomes the other leg of this thing. Because the Bible reminds us that faith without any hope, I mean, or I should say faith without any works, is dead. Wow, that's kind of a powerful verse. Not that works gets us saved, please. That's not the point. But there's two extremes here. You can be all work-oriented and get legalistic in your life. You can be just focusing on faith, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's by faith through grace through faith that we're saved. But that can leave us stuck in some areas when we don't apply what the Scripture teaches to our life. And that's really what intentional living is all about. In this area of parenting, that's really critical. All right, let's pick up the rest of that call from Gina with her advice, things she's doing with her kids. Like, take a listen.
Unconditional love. I have a daughter that's 24. She's out of the house. She had a few bad things happen to her, and she questioned why God allowed that. She decided that she was going against him, and that was very difficult for me. I fought it with everything that I had, and I handled it the wrong way. And what I did was I just prayed. I gave her back to God because our kids belong to God. We have them for a short period of time, but they're ultimately his. And I had to hand her over, and I just asked God to give me peace and to show her the love that he has for her, even though she has chosen that path, that he will always love her. And so I have learned that every day is a struggle for me to not push so that I still have that contact and to let her know that I love her and to listen when she wants to talk and just continue to pray for her and know that God has her.
That's great. You're going to do that daily then, next 30 days?
Yes, daily, several times a day.
That's great. Listen, that's a 30-day challenge that can make a difference, actually giving your child back to God, praying for her and for him. Let me just say this. When you make a decision to say, hey, I'm getting myself off the hook, you know, you feel like you're on a hook as a parent sometimes, like you're supposed to do something to fix this adult son or daughter. When you get yourself off the hook and realize that it's between them and the Lord, it gives you a lot of freedom to continue to pray for them, leave the door open to be the kind of parent that you want to be and supporting them in the process. Parenting today, Anna is in Arizona, I think. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dr. Randy. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a parent, a grandparent, and a great-grandparent.
Oh, congratulations. How many total? Do you have the number in your head? How many kids, grandkids?
Oh, my. Let's see.
Take a
10,
guess.
20, 30.
30, okay.
30 altogether. Two kids, seven grandkids, and 12 great-grandkids,
wow.
And another one on the way.
Uh-huh. All right. I sit at your feet, Anna. I sit at your feet with the wisdom to flow here.
No. Please don't do that. But I want to say teach your children, don't expect life to be perfect or fair, because it's not.
It ain't.
Jesus said that in the Bible.
That's right.
And don't be a helicopter parent. And I want you to know that there are probably more Christians who are helicopter parents, and you know what that is. They mm-hmm. want everything to be perfect for the kids. Well, and then those kids leave home, and when it ain't perfect, you know what I mean, and I don't use ain't, but anyway, when life...
Oh, we do around here. It's okay. Go right ahead.
Thank you. They don't know what to do. I've seen more Christian kids, and my daddy was a Baptist preacher, and I tell you what, my daughter has raised 5 children. She homeschooled those 5 kids. They all 5 love the Lord, and I want you to know that they have married spouses that also love the Lord, and they're teaching those 12 great-grandkids to love the Lord. It doesn't get any better than that. Mm-hmm. Randy, if I'll be 80 in 5 more months, and if I tell you what, if I live to be 100 and thank God every day for my blessings, and I was a single parent from...
Wow.
Yeah, my son was 12 and my daughter was 15 when my husband left after 3 affairs, and that was it. 20 years of marriage, and I tell you what, I don't want another one. I don't hate men, but I don't want another one, because trust is the basis of any relationship, whether it's spouse, parent, mm-hmm. child, friend. If you don't have trust, you don't have anything.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Now, we teach at Intentional Living about getting mad enough, right? We say get mad enough to change, get mad enough to honor Christ, get mad enough to say, I don't want to be this way anymore. And one of the problems that people have when they're emotionally weak is that they don't follow that little formula that we use, MAD, mindset of Christ, right? Because our emotions are driven by our mindset, what we tell ourselves. That's why the scripture tells us whatever is true and right and admirable and praiseworthy to think on such things. For the letter A, they don't have an attitude of confidence in Christ, because many people who are emotionally weak are not confident in who they are in Christ. They don't know who they are. So there's a sense of responding out of this emotionality. And then for the letter D, making the right decisions for life and establishing the right habits. You know, that little formula can be very helpful, not only in parenting, but in our own personal life, that getting mad enough, as I say, M-A-D, mad enough, to say, I want something different. Unless we get to that place, sometimes we just sink into complacency. And as I said, you take those letters, M-A-D, changing our mindset, changing our attitude toward confidence, and then making the right decisions. That's an excerpt from this month's featured lesson on how to love that emotionally weak person in your life. We'd love to have you be a part of the team with us. We can get more of this teaching out and help more people. You're a part of it. Thank you. Call us during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. And thank you for your support.
My name is Dan, and about the advice about parents, 2 things really. Teach your kids early to be good decision makers. That is, put out 2 different shirts, 2 different pairs of pants or whatever, and just let them pick one and go with it. Teach them early how to make decisions. And the second one is tell your kids yes as often as you can, because more often than not, you're going to be telling them no way more. So if it doesn't matter and you can give them a yes, give them a yes.
That's good. That's good stuff. Thank you. That'll make a big difference. Giving kids choices like that helps them think through, make decisions, be confident in the decision, and move on. Sometimes kids can grow up and lack confidence because everything's done for them, decided for them, given to them. Helping kids make some of the tough decisions and act on it's a good thing. Here at the Intentional Living Center, as we focus on what does it mean to be intentional, blended families. Up next, Anna. Sounds like that's what you're facing today. And what is it that you've learned that you want to share with others about blending a family?
My husband and I have now been married 21 years, but this is a second marriage for both of us. I have four children, and he has three. And when we got together and got married, we had the seven teenagers at one time.
And wow.
When he got home from work, as probably happens in most households, there's been disagreements with the kids, and the kids would come running, and it was like, oh boy, we've got to do something. So we excused ourselves from kids and said, give us 5 minutes alone. And so we went to the bathroom because it was the only place that would be private. And we had a 5-minute bathroom meeting.
I hope you had more than one bathroom in the house.
Oh, yeah. But we did that because we needed to make sure that one child was not going to say, well, you know, your and kids did this and your kids. And so they wouldn't try to work up, you know, one family against the other to the parent. And we always came out with an agreement. This is how we're going to handle it. And we showed a united front. And for blended families, it's mm-hmm. so hard.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very hard. But it also helped us in our marriage to always come to an agreement, you know.
Seven teenagers at one time. I'm stuck there. Seven teenagers.
Yeah, it was something.
How did they all get along with each other?
Well, they really had a good time most of the time. But boy, when there was Armageddon evenings, you know, there really were some tough nights. And to any family that tries to blend families, it's not easy, but it can be done. And so now we look back and laugh. Where it was a sweet, sweet union. So 21 years later.
Well, what do you say to someone who's thinking of getting married? You said a lot already, but one thing that you have learned with having a blended family and seven at one time.
I'll be honest with you. We dated for 5 years. We took a lot of time. The kids had to work through a lot of issues. Now that sounds like a crazy amount of time. But we needed that time because they had issues. We had issues to work through from past marriages. So I'd say get in the center and take your time.
That's good. Good advice. Time does make a difference. Talking parenting today, if you just joined us, this is Intentional Living from Intentional Life Media, from our Family Life Radio studios in Tucson, around the world online, across the country on great radio stations. Talking about the things that matter most in our life, including our kids. And so, Connie, we want you to be next in Arizona. What have you learned about this thing of parenting?
Honestly, there are so many good words that I've heard this morning already, and it's really hard sometimes with the busyness of our world to focus on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing I think I didn't even really focus on it as much as my children saw me do it, and they value hard work.
Yeah.
They find it very rare in their generation, actually, to value that hard work or to find it. I know that there are times when we don't work hard, we allow the Lord to just move and do what He's going to do. But hard work can be something that builds our character, that, you know, brings us perseverance through hard mm-hmm. times. And I think Colossians 3:23 is the one that says that whatever you do it with your whole heart.
Yeah.
And right. That's definitely something my kids have picked up for me, and I've seen them just care for other people and just work hard at whatever they're doing.
Yeah, that's it. Teaching kids to work, that's important. All right, before the break, let's see if we can get you in here, Darren from Kansas. You got some advice for young parents coming up? What is it?
Make sure that you're always setting the example because they're watching you all the time.
Yeah.
Little things like pulling up to a place and there's a homeless person, and I went inside to buy sandwiches for me and my daughter, and I came back out and I bought an extra sandwich and I gave it to the homeless person. And my daughter's like, what did you just do? And I said, I just gave him food because he looks hungry. And he's not begging for food, but he probably needed food, and he was really thankful. And she remembered that. Now she's 23 years old, and I'm driving out to her in Denver and setting that example, that leading, that they're watching you, so that you don't have to teach them by talking, that you're teaching them by what they're seeing you do.
So how do you love someone who's an emotionally weak person? I'm not talking about the normal emotions that we have. I have emotional weakness, but when it becomes a pervasive problem to the point where you can't relate well with a person, you can't communicate, you can't get along, it creates a problem, right? Where does our emotional weaknesses come from?
In his message, How to Love the Emotionally Weak, Dr. Randy explains how you can respond in a way that's healthy for both you and the other person. And if you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. Hey, when you do that, you're making a difference in the lives of people. Thank you. You can check it out. Become a part of the family here at theintentionallife.com or go to 888-888-1717 during the West Coast business hours and press number 2. Just during the break, Jennifer announced to me that she was one of the final three finalists for the Chili Cook-Off annual event here at the ministry. Congratulations. And I missed it because I had an appointment I had to get to.
Thank you. I was very excited because it was my first time cooking that type of chili. I've never made chili beans before or, you know, chili like that. I don't like cooking much, but I thought, heck, why not? This could be fun and maybe I could win something. And I did. I was happy to get third place.
What did they give you around here for third place?
Well, each of us got a really cool medal, and it was a nice hefty medal. So I got my third place chili cook-off medal and then a gift card, which was really wonderful.
All right. Yeah. How many different chilies were there? How many people?
I believe 9.
9 chilies.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry I missed it. Maybe next time. All right. Congratulations. All right. We're talking parenting today. You're welcome to join us. 888-888-1717.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Geraldine from Sterling Heights, Michigan, and I was calling to tell you what went right in my family raising my children. I wasn't the perfect parent, not by any stretch of the imagination, but my children were not perfect children either. And you wouldn't know that today because we have a really great relationship. And the reason we do, though, is because we learned to forgive each other. We chose to do that. I modeled that to them, and I taught that to them. I can still remember my oldest daughter. I can tell you exactly where we were. But we were having a conversation. She was so angry with me. And I said to her, you know what? I understand it. I know. You're right. You will not make the same mistakes that I've made as a parent. I get that. But you're going to make your own. And I hope that your children are more forgiving than you are toward me. And it just became this turning point where we realized that mistakes are part of relationships. And we learn to forgive each other. And so I'd like to tell any parent out there who's going through some frustrating times with their teenager or they're hurting, just having hard relationships right now, I would just say, learn to forgive, teach forgiveness, model forgiveness is what will change your relationship.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, I think sometimes being honest with your kids, you don't know how that's going to land, but you're going to make mistakes too, kids, someday in life, and hopefully those that you love will be forgiving to you. Boy, it goes from generation to generation. What a powerful reminder. All right, Diane, appreciate your call. What's your question for me today?
My husband and I are in our 70s, and we have 3 adult children, ages 50, 48, and 38. When they were in their teens, they rebelled and turned to a different lifestyle. And then all down through these years, just many, many, many hurtful things have been happening. They only call when they want to check to see if we're still alive or if we have a physical need. There's no emotional bond or connection at all, and has not been since their younger years. And so we are at the point where we are wondering, is it ever okay to just like say something to them? Like, is there a way that we could reassure you that we're okay physically and then just not have anything to do with each other? Because it's so hurtful wow. every time we have any kind of contact.
So when they call you, they say hurtful things, or it's just hurtful because you know their only motivation is to see if you're still alive?
The latter.
Have you ever said that to them?
Yes.
And they say?
They just seem to not care. They really don't say anything. They just continue to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I will find myself kind of trying to force them to have a different kind of relationship. Like I'll try to get one of them to call me once a week, and then they'll call, but you can tell it's begrudging, and it's just getting more and more and more hurtful.
I would think so. You must be very troubled. I mean, it sounds like all three of your children, you have an estranged relationship with them.
Yes.
Is there any one of those three that's closer to you than any of the others?
No, there has been at different times, but now all three of them are not.
Hmm. And your husband is in agreement?
Yes, because he feels the same way.
Hmm. Listen, I hear your pain, and at this stage in your life, you've got senior adult children, not just kids. I mean, these are adults that should know better. But they're probably facing their own stuff. You don't know. I don't know what's going on in their lives. Maybe they have health issues and family issues. Can I encourage you, whenever we get into a place where an expectation minus the reality creates these deep feelings of disappointment, we have to make a decision at that point. We're either going to stay stuck in those feelings, or we can be proactive to do something different. I would suggest three things. One, pray for your kids. They're still your kids. Even though they're 50 years old, I think you said. Pray that God will move in their life, that they'll be successful with your grandkids, and that they will experience true and love for God and a relationship with Christ. Secondly, you need to not wait for them to call you, but to be intentional in reaching out to them to connect with them in different ways. Cards, letters, phone calls. You take the initiative. Don't wait for them. And number three, build your community beyond your own kids. Get involved in a church or at your age. I don't know if it's a community involvement or if you're in a place, a home with other seniors or whatever. But get your mind and heart and feelings of acceptance off of your kids, because you could be completely disappointed for the rest of your life. You can have strength in developing relationships with other people. Hope that helps. I know it's difficult for you. All right, George, over there in Michigan, talking about adult children's children. What have you learned about this?
It took me until I was a grandfather to figure some of this stuff out. But number one was I had to call each of my children and tell them that it was okay if they chose to not raise their kids the way I raised them, if they didn't like it. If they did like it, they could use it or not. It was their choice. I had to give them that freedom. I noticed that they were saying, well, Dad, you did this and you did that. And I realized that they were hurting themselves, so to speak, as far as the relationship with me went. So I had to free them up on that. And that was for tremendous savings right there. And the other is I have no problem giving my children advice, because once they're under 18, my word is law. After 18... it's a suggestion, and I will definitely give someone I love a suggestion to try to help them to
But what if they don't want it?
That's their call. They're over 18. So, I will support them however I can.
Do you say, hey, can I share an idea with you, or you just share it?
I tell them that I will be your father forever, and that's what fathers do. But I don't browbeat them. I don't force them on it. I don't guilt them into it. I just lay it out for them.
How's that been received?
Very positively. Sometimes they don't want to hear it, but I know not to push it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm very sensitive to that. But if I see them hurting or struggling in an area, I'll give them my advice. I'd rather give them my advice and have them take it from a stranger that doesn't have their best interest in heart. They've never been caught up with a predatory lender. They've never been involved in making a bad decision as far as signing their name on something.
There's a confident dad. Thank you, George. You got it laid out. And your kids know where you stand, and you love them, and when they're 18, they're out the door. They're on your own. You can keep my last name, but you're out the door. Maybe not quite that bad. All right. That's good. Hey, Joe, we got time for you, I think, on parenting. What have you learned about parenting?
One of the things that was very, very important to me for my children to understand was choices. I started when they were very, very young, where they could pick a toy and the other one would get put away. And then they gradually learned that each choice would have a consequence, good or bad. And then we continued that when they were a little bit bigger and they could do this in a high chair, pick which cereal you want for breakfast. And then, do you want your eggs hard or soft? And then as they got a little bit older, they understood consequences of this choice or that choice. Sometimes it's going to be a good consequence. Sometimes it's a bad consequence. And then we added on personal responsibility. You maybe made a choice. It was not a good consequence, but now you are personally responsible for that. And I found that this worked very, very well when they got into school and they have all these other things going on that you have to make a choice. We talked about drugs and choices, just about anything that they would have to make a choice.
That's, how old are they now?
My children are 50 and 52 now.
And what kind of adults did they become?
They became extremely godly adults, very godly adults, because, you know, choice goes right into your biblical teachings. And they raise their children the same way. You make a choice. You know, and then when you're old enough, you choose Jesus because it is indeed a choice.
That's right.
You need to make. But as they got older, you know, and they learned things, my daughter was in tears one time. She was sitting and talking to me that she had to make a choice when she was in high school to let a friend go because he became involved in drugs and it broke her heart. But I told her that I was very proud that she made that choice because you are known by the company you keep, and he's going to go down a very hard road. You don't want to follow him there.
Absolutely. You're a smart mom. You've passed on some a lot of wisdom there. If you're a young parent, what you just heard could change your life. If your child says, I want a hard-boiled egg, and then after you do it, they actually say, no, I want it over easy. Well, tomorrow we can maybe do it over easy, but today it's hard-boiled because that's what you picked. And so when we teach our children to be accountable for the little things, being responsible for their decisions, it'll help them later in life for the bigger ones. All right, we got to run. This has been fun. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living on our parenting days. If you have a one thing that you're doing you want to share with us, do so on our storyline at 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy for Stephen and Jennifer and the rest of the team around here. God bless you. We're a ministry of Intentional Life Media.